Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. I am your host, Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. Tulsa week is here. We've reviewed everything that we possibly could of the McNeese State victory. If you didn't catch that one, go back in the archives to our post-game podcast. Dug deep into all the fascinating things that happen when you play
fascinating things in a 56-14 victory, right?
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Exactly. So we're going to look ahead to Tulsa. We're going to dig even deeper into the Tulsa matchup. We'll have Dakota Gregory of the Tulsa World on with us in our next episode, plus the mailbag in our Friday episode. So be sure to jump in with that on Twitter at ScottWrightOK. Email swright@oklahoman.com with your questions. We'll address those. Going into this one, let's go back a little farther in history. There's a lot of talk about the 2011 Oklahoma State Tulsa game at the Mike Gundy press conference on Monday. Fascinating stuff. There were a lot of really interesting stories that came out about the behind-the-scenes issues of this game.
There are so many stories here that you learn. You know, I mean, first of all, there's the tough part of it with Glenn Spencer's wife passing mm-hmm. away in the game. And, you know, you've got the lightning delay that takes it forever. It doesn't start till after midnight, the game. Yeah. It's just there's so many elements to this. You know, Kevin Clintworth tweets at me yesterday that he remembers seeing one of OSU's players in the concession stand line during the delay.
Right.
You know, there was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made for the entire team, trips to grocery stores, people hanging out in the stands even though they shouldn't have been. There was so many things that Mike Gundy talked about yesterday that was just really, really fascinating to me.
We're going to be digging even deeper into some of those stories later this week in the Oklahoman, so be on the lookout for that. Going to get some other voices to share some of the things that they were going with, that they were going through. One of the things that I thought was funny, Bill Blankenship opened his post-game press conference with "Good morning, everyone." I always thought that was entertaining. Bill Blankenship, of course, a fantastic guy, and you know, did a great job there at Tulsa. So, but a lot of interesting storylines going through that very unique night and into the morning up in Tulsa. Oklahoma State back there this week. As we prepare for this game, what are you looking for, Jacob? Out of let's start with Spencer Sanders. What do you think he needs to do? He had a slow start the other day against McNeese, but bounced back. What does he need to do on Saturday?
You know, I'm curious how he responds to a legitimate pass rush.
Yeah.
McNeese got to him on that first series and sacked him. They had some pressure on his first couple series, really. Mm-hmm. The offensive line took a little bit to get going. And Tulsa already has 6 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, they've got it, and they played really well against Michigan State defensively. And I think I'm really interested to see how he reacts to defense. It's going to maybe put up a little bit more resistance. I mean, McNeese, you know, we knew wasn't going to put much resistance. Oregon State's defense isn't very good. So I'm curious. I'm not saying this is a championship level defense,
right,
that Tulsa has by any means, but they have some really nice parts and a scheme there that is working for them, and so I'm curious to see what he does under some pressure.
Yeah, I mean, this is a defense that went up to Michigan State and only gave up 28 points, and I think there was a non-offensive touchdown there as well.
I think so 3 touchdowns maybe is what they allowed.
So 21 actually allowed by the defense. So this is a solid defense, one of the definitely the best they've seen so far, and one of the better ones that they'll see throughout the year. So it's a significant test. The offensive line will be an issue of curiosity, I'll say. After grading out so high at Oregon State, Mike Gundy said it was the highest grade he could remember. They were not up to that standard against McNeese.
Yeah, he graded about his average yesterday, and that was fair, I thought, for the starting offensive line. That, like I said, there were times that Sanders didn't have time, and there were times that Chuba got hit in the backfield and things like that that just you didn't see against Oregon State. And but Tulsa, I mean, Gundy came out and praised that defense yesterday. Mm-hmm. that's kind of stood out to me, is how much he really, really talked about the defense and guys that come off the edge and their secondary plays man-to-man. He was really impressed with their secondary. And so there's going to be some tests there for Spencer, and I think it's good when you go into Texas that he is going to have a test.
Now, that man-to-man coverage could be a really big question when you've got Tylan Wallace on your side.
Yeah.
How much they actually trust a cornerback to go one-on-one with him on a regular basis will be a really big question, because that's a matchup that Oklahoma State will find ways to isolate, and obviously that becomes a huge advantage when you're Oklahoma State. So if they stick with that, it's good for Oklahoma State. If they don't stick with that, it's also okay for Oklahoma State, because they got a lot of talented guys elsewhere.
Too many receivers at this point. I mean, you've got Jordan McCray, who's had a nice start. C.J. Moore, who Gundy talked a lot about yesterday. And Dylan Stoner hasn't done much yet, but you know he's going to. You know Jelani Woods is going to get involved at some point. You've got guys like that that, sure, go ahead, double, triple, time, whatever you want to do, but there's people over there that are going to make plays. And so that the theory that the man-to-man defense from Tulsa, I get what Gundy's saying. I'm with you. It may not hold very long. The first time that Tylan Burns, the guy one-on-one, they're going to think, okay, we're going to have to do something different here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's always interesting to see when you've got a clash of styles like this that, you know, to see if the defense is going to change, if they're going to bend, if they're going to do something completely different that you haven't seen on film. That's happened to Oklahoma State in the past. You know, I think back to some of the games, particularly in Mason Rudolph's senior year with James Washington in 2017. There were a lot of things, a lot of defenses made some significant changes leading up to game week against Oklahoma State to take James Washington away and throw Mason Rudolph off his game. So we'll see how Tulsa approaches that. But, you know, even if you start, you know, you start dropping your safeties back, that opens up the run game. That's what Oregon State tried to do, was keep safeties deep to prevent the big pass play, and Chuba Hubbard ran wild. So there are just too many weapons in this Oklahoma State offense to allow you to try to just take one away and have some success. So it'll be interesting to see how Tulsa handles that. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and look at the other side of the ball for the Cowboys. This is the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Jacob, the non-conference schedule this Tulsa game has a real value, I think, to Oklahoma State in a lot of different ways. I think it fills that kind of middle opponent. You know, you got to have a Power Five. Then you've got kind of that middle of the road team, and then your lower level opponent. I think Tulsa, and extending this series, you know, they're playing 10 times in the next 12 years. I think the value of this game to everybody, you know, Oklahoma State obviously recruits the Tulsa area so hard. You know, there are a lot of different the fans. It's an easy road trip for fans, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, going to Oregon State. So I think this checks a lot of boxes in terms of value to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned the recruiting factor for one. I mean, they can get recruits there in Tulsa a lot easier than they can Oregon. Yeah. You know, I mean, you get in front of these kids and they see it, and you know, they've got Bixby, Jinx, Union, all those kids over there. I'm forgetting some schools, I'm sure. Sorry. But, you know, but you're right. The scheduling factor. I think I like that OSU is getting more regionalized. I got Arkansas series coming up. It makes sense. It saves them money.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest factor, obviously. Yeah. Especially when you go to Oregon. Let's have a home non-conference game and go to Tulsa. That's not going to be too expensive compared to Oregon. You know, but you're right. I think it's really good for fans. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a good crowd Saturday. Yeah. The better crowd for Tulsa than they're probably going to have all season.
Yeah.
Except maybe I would assume homecoming, it might be a big crowd for him, as it should be. But, you know, it's probably going to be mostly OSU fans.
Right.
And it's going to be like a home away from home. It's kind of like the Thunder doing the exhibition game at the BOK in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Kind of get that vibe, and it helps Tulsa out. Mm-hmm. You know, you want Tulsa to have good attendance too. It's an in-state school, and you want them to kind of get that notoriety. And so I think you really can't go wrong with this series.
Yeah.
Now if Oklahoma State loses, they might second guess themselves a little, but
right.
You know, I think this is the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tulsa is an interesting school, being that they're so small. They don't have just a massive alumni fan base. They're the smallest FBS mm-hmm. playing FBS football school. So it's fun to see a good crowd at a game like this, and it's going to be nice to see Oklahoma State playing it on a regular basis with the home and home.
I know more people that went to law school at Tulsa than actually undergrad,
right?
And like, they don't really care.
Right.
I mean, they went to law school there. They don't have that alumni feeling to you. But there is a lot to do, though, over there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And, on the recruiting side of things, on local guys who are perhaps being recruited by both, because obviously Tulsa recruits Tulsa very hard, and Oklahoma State does as well. Obviously Oklahoma State can't take recruits to this game, but guys that they're recruiting – that are being recruited by Tulsa will be at this game as well.
I wonder if Tulsa kind of backs off some of those guys for this game. Like, maybe you shouldn't come to this one.
Right, right.
You know,
why don't you come when we're farther down the schedule?
Come next week when we play Wyoming.
Yeah, exactly. We got some AAC teams on the schedule.
Yeah, let's not have you here watching OSU when they want you to.
Right,
so.
Yeah. But it's a valuable game for a lot of reasons. I'm glad to see it. Glad to see it on the schedule. We haven't made our official picks for this game at this point, but do you have kind of a gut feeling on what direction this could go? We talked about the Oklahoma State offense versus the Tulsa defense and the kind of some of the uniqueness there. Now Oklahoma State has been weaker on defense. Tulsa's offense has been a little bit weaker, so it's kind of an interesting matchup, and trying to get a gauge of what could actually happen in this game has been kind of tough for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think OSU wins.
Right.
And I think they win, what was the line, 14?
Right.
Kind of about around there. Yeah. I mean, I think I would take that. I mean, I would think that they would win by probably more than 14, to be honest.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I thought the line was a little bit low.
That's what I think.
And that messed with me even more.
Yeah. That's kind of why I was like, wow, all right, 14. Because I was thinking the line would have been 21, 22.
Right, yeah.
You know, somewhere in there. And then you get, I would have still said they win by four touchdowns probably.
Right.
And I probably would still say that. I don't know that they're going to put up 56 on Tulsa's defense.
Right.
But I think they're going to, I think – they might get off to another slow start, I think they're going to come out the fast start. I think they're going to be a little determined to show that last week is kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
And they might come out and score really quick, and they might put it away.
Yeah.
Pretty quick, too. But Tulsa defense is better than people are wanting to give them credit for, I think. So I think it's going to be interesting, at least for the first half.
Yeah. I agree. I think, I'm curious to see what happens with this Tulsa offense. Because Zach Smith is a talented quarterback. Mm-hmm. We've seen him. We saw him at Baylor doing some things. Shamari Brooks, you and I both covered when he was in high school at Union, and he's a talented running back. So they've got some good pieces. They've got a pretty deep group of wide receivers that are really solid. So we'll see what they're able to do. Obviously, offensive line is a little bit of an issue, but we'll see what they're able to do against the Oklahoma State secondary in particular. Oregon State was able to find some holes and make some plays, and this again a veteran quarterback and some talented receivers who might be able to find some spots and do some things. That'll be probably one of the things I'm most curious about, is how Oklahoma State's secondary holds up.
Yeah, that's something that we didn't really look at last week. There wasn't much of an issue with secondary last week. There wasn't much of a test either, to be honest. So I think, they need to be pushed again, because Texas is going to test them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big thing. This is the last game on the ramp up to the start of Big 12 play, and you dive right in with a road trip to Texas. Having two road games, I think, this year is in non-conference has been probably beneficial because of the way that the conference mm-hmm. schedule sets up. I think having been on the road a couple of times, especially one long trip, is a big benefit. Because, Mike Gundy mentioned he asked the team before they went up to Oregon State how many guys are traveling for the first time. And he said it was like 26 or 28 guys raised their hands. And that's a whole different feel for a kid that's playing in his first college road game, going through all the flying. And, legitimately, there's some of these guys who've never been on a plane before. Before they get to college, so you never know how guys are going to react in those situations. I think it's important for them to have experienced that now, and they're going to be ready for that when the season gets here. What are you looking for on offense? Would you think that this becomes a game where Oklahoma State has to attack on the ground more so? Because we've seen it both ways after two games. It's it was ground heavy in the opener, and they flipped it and threw for over 400 yards as a team. Do you have a gut feeling on which direction that goes this week?
I kind of think they want to go back and establish the run early. To maybe relieve some of that pressure that Tulsa's going to try to put on Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the way to go, maybe.
Right.
And Chuba only carried the ball 8 times last week, and I know Gundy's playing part of that on a fumble, but
right.
I think they try to get him going early to open things up for Spencer and Tylan.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. I think that's where they're going to see their best opportunities, whether it's handling blitzes or whatever it is. If you're able to get into run plays that get you away from some of that sort of stuff, I think that's a good way. But we'll see what the Tulsa defense has up its sleeve. It's definitely played well and done some good things to this point in the season. So as I mentioned in our final podcast of the week, we will have Dakota Gregory of the Tulsa World, the Tulsa football beat writer, to break down the Golden Hurricane a little bit more and dive into that and your mailbag questions. So reach out with those at Scott Wright OK on Twitter, swright@oklahoma.com via email, and we'll answer all of those questions in our Friday mailbag segment. But that will do it for the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings, stop in today, or visit zaxbys.com. We're back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Over to the defensive side of the ball for Oklahoma State. We saw some developments, I think, it was McNeese State, but we saw some progress. Anything that stands out where they need to take another step forward going into to this Tulsa game that's a more similar offense to what we're going to see in the Big 12?
I still want to see more pressure on the quarterback. I still would like to see – I mean, 2 sacks here tonight, that's a good improvement. But I think this defense last year had so many sacks. I really want to see them kind of get back to that and turnovers. I mean, you still want more turnovers.
Yeah.
Only one against McNeese State. I mean – or two. Sorry, they had two.
But, I mean, one was late when it was scrubs in the game. So
yeah, really one for the first-team defense. You almost would expect more maybe against a team like McNeese State. But I think – you can start turning that corner a little bit. Going into Big 12, you've got to feel really good about yourself. Now they have confidence now. I mean, that pick 6 right by A.J. Green at the beginning of the game really started things rolling. But it's just it's not exactly the start they're still wanting, I think.
Right.
I think they still want to get more turnovers and sacks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to continue to see a little bit more just gradually opening up the playbook. from Jim Knowles. I don't know that he's done a ton of the really creative stuff that he's got stashed away right now, and there's a lot of that stuff that we're not going to see until Texas. So, but you know, guys like Mike Scott, Brock Martin. I almost said Jordan Belfort. Trace Ford.
That's Trace Ford.
He's number 94, and he's really fast. That's what I know.
Same build too.
Yeah, they are very similarly built. So those three guys in that what they call the Leo position, the one that they move around and do so many creative things with. I think you're going to see those guys doing more things. And the defensive line, I think, in general, is coming along. So I think that the progress is good there. Linebacker depth is still a huge concern. But the two starters, I think, are playing spectacularly well.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you've got Malcolm Rodriguez, obviously, moving there. And he's around the ball almost every play, it seems like. It seems like you're always going to see 20 involved. Amen. I'm not going to say his last name because I'm not there yet like you, Scott. Sorry.
Abogmiga.
Yeah, okay. Abogmiga. that's not even close. But, you know, he's been a really nice addition this year to that to that group. I mean, he's been really, really strong. He seems like he's settled in really quick. And, you know, if you get – the problem is you don't want to wear those guys out.
Right,
And that's the concern. They got rest last week. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting against these Big 12 offenses, you're going to have some depth to get those guys a breather because they're going to be running all over the place just the way those offenses are.
Yeah. And Malcolm being up there in that group, I think, opens a door for some additional creativity from Jim Knowles. Because when he likes to go to that 3-3 setup in some passing situations. And when you're in that and you've got Malcolm in there, it's really like a 3-2 with another safety. So the coverage ability is significantly increased in that situation. Kevin Henry is a guy with some good speed and a pretty big guy at about 240 pounds. So, when they get into those opportunities to use that defense, it could be a really interesting situation for this group and what they can do. I'm, you know, as this back injury for Calvin Bundage lingers, I'm becoming more and more convinced that Malcolm Rodriguez could be at linebacker for the entirety of the season. Even because the truth is, even when Bundage comes back, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to go play 70 plays a game. And he's going to the depth still isn't great there if you take Malcolm Rodriguez out. So I think that this is a move for the year, definitely, and then we'll see going forward if they feel comfortable with the guys like Nadrian Dizadare or Cameron Farrar who got to play. Dizadare was out, didn't get to play in his second game as a true freshman, but Cameron Farrar did get in the action and made a tackle and looked solid. So be interesting to see going forward beyond this year how Jim Knowles likes to address that linebacker situation. But for now, Malcolm Rodriguez looks like an incredibly good fit there, even though he's not as big as maybe what you want at a linebacker. You know, if they were a 4-3 and he was an outside linebacker, I don't think it would concern you as much.
No.
But when you're running a 4-2-5, it just feels like they need another big guy up there. But he's holding his own right now, and we'll see really in 2 weeks for sure what he can do.
Sometimes I feel like it is a 3-3 anyways, the way the Leo position goes with you've got Trace or Brock Martin, mm-hmm. guys like that coming off. They're standing up coming off the edge anyways.
Yeah, or lining up at middle linebacker with the linebackers going outside.
It kind of feels that way anyway, so I feel like that sometimes maybe alleviates a little bit of the size disadvantage that Malcolm has when you've got guys like that, because Trace was recruited as a linebacker anyways, Trace Ford was, and so I think, you know, you've kind of got him as that hybrid guy anyways, or you know, Brock Martin and you know, guys like that. I think, you know, I think that kind of serves as the dual purpose for that.
Yeah absolutely. Trace is exactly what they view as for that position. He's the ideal type of player for what Jim Knowles wants in that spot. So, and Jim Knowles loves that guy. He raves about him any chance he gets, talking about his speed, his first step, his short area quickness to get to the ball. He's been very impressed. Ford ended up with four tackles the other night.
Got his first sack,
first
too.
First career sack. So he's going to be an impact player for a while.
Yeah,
now,
he's not going to play these first four games and sit. He's not redshirting.
No, absolutely not. In that vein, eight additional true freshmen got into the action. I'm guessing for most of them that might be about it this year. Maybe you see some of them pop up if the Cowboys are able to put some blowouts on Kansas or somebody else like that. But it's a definite change in how Mike Gundy used the redshirt rule a year ago, when he would run a guy out there to help on special teams. When his four games was up, he picked another guy to go out there and fill that spot. We saw him rotate through some guys that way. But we did not see, you know, for instance, Jameel Jeter come in and as the fifth string running back and be used the way that we saw with DeAndre Glass or Langston Anderson. So a definite change in how Gundy is viewing this this four game redshirt rule, and I think it's beneficial for the guys.
I do too. I think you've got this experience, and I think this is part of having an FCS opponent on your schedule. Is you get your feet wet, basically.
Yeah.
You know, we may not see these guys again the rest of the year.
Exactly.
And, you know, other than on special teams, you'll say, hey, you know, there's a number out there that's a freshman. All right, okay, exactly. Cool. You know, I think that only helps, because we've written about this. We've talked about this with some of the players that did redshirt last year. Even special teams helped them out. So imagine being a running back who gets four carries
right. That
you wouldn't have gotten before. You get to at least get out there and get an idea of the speed of the game on that side of the ball and stuff. I think it's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take another quick break, and we'll come back with our final segment here on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Coming back in 3, 2, 1. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Jacob, the non-conference schedule this Tulsa game has a real value, I think, to Oklahoma State in a lot of different ways. I think it fills that kind of middle opponent. You know, you got to have a Power Five. Then you've got kind of that middle of the road team, and then your lower level opponent. I think Tulsa, and extending this series, you know, they're playing 10 times in the next 12 years. I think the value of this game to everybody, you know, Oklahoma State obviously recruits the Tulsa area so hard. You know, there are a lot of different the fans. It's an easy road trip for fans, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, going to Oregon State. So I think this checks a lot of boxes in terms of value to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned the recruiting factor for one. I mean, they can get recruits there in Tulsa a lot easier than they can Oregon. Yeah. You know, I mean, you get in front of these kids and they see it, and you know, they've got Bixby, Jinx, Union, all those kids over there. I'm forgetting some schools, I'm sure. Sorry, but you know, but you're right. The scheduling factor. I think I like that OSU is getting more regionalized. They got Arkansas series coming right. up. It makes sense. It saves them money.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest factor, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to Oregon, let's have a home non-conference game and go to Tulsa. That's not going to be too expensive,
right.
compared to Oregon. You know, but you're right. I think it's really good for fans.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a good crowd Saturday.
Yeah.
The better crowd for Tulsa than they're probably going to have all season.
Yeah.
Except maybe I would assume homecoming, it might be a big crowd for them, you know, as it should be. But, you know, it's probably going to be mostly OSU fans.
Right.
And it's going to be like a home away from home. It's kind of like the Thunder doing the exhibition game at the BOK in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Kind of get that vibe, and it helps Tulsa out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want Tulsa to have good attendance too. It's an
right.
in-state school, and you want them to kind of get that notoriety. And so I think you really can't go wrong with this series.
Yeah.
Now if Oklahoma State loses, they might second guess themselves a little, but
right.
you know, I think this is the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Tulsa is an interesting school, being that they're so small. They don't have just a massive alumni fan base. They're the smallest FBS mm-hmm. playing FBS football school. So it's fun to see a good crowd at a game like this, and it's going to be nice to see Oklahoma State playing it on a regular basis with the home and home.
I know more people that went to law school at Tulsa than actually undergrad,
right?
And like, they don't really care,
right?
I mean, they went to law school there. That's they don't have that alumni feeling to you, but there is a lot to do though.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah, there absolutely is, and on the recruiting side of things, on local guys who are. Who are perhaps being recruited by both, because obviously Tulsa recruits Tulsa very hard, and Oklahoma State does as well. Obviously Oklahoma State can't take recruits to this game, but guys that they're recruiting that are being recruited by Tulsa will be at this game as well.
I wonder if Tulsa kind of backs off some of those guys for this game. Like, maybe you shouldn't come to this one.
Right, right.
You know,
why don't you come when we're, farther down the schedule.
Come next week when we play Wyoming.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we got some AAC teams on the schedule.
Yeah, let's not have you here watching OSU when they want you to.
Right,
so.
Yeah. but it's a valuable game for a lot of reasons. I'm glad to see it. Glad to see it on the schedule. We haven't made our official picks for this game at this point, but do you have kind of a gut feeling on what direction this could go? We talked about the Oklahoma State offense versus the Tulsa defense and the kind of some of the uniqueness there. Now Oklahoma State has been weaker on defense. Tulsa's offense has been a little bit weaker, so it's kind of an interesting matchup, and trying to get a gauge of what could actually happen in this game has been kind of tough for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think OSU wins.
Right.
And I think they win, what was the line, 14?
Right.
Kind of about around there. Yeah. I mean, I think I would take that. I mean, I would think that they would win by probably more than 14, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. I'll be honest. I thought the line was a little bit low.
That's what I think.
And that messed with me even more.
Yeah. That's kind of why I was like, wow, all right, 14. Because I would have thinking the line would have been 21, 22.
Right, yeah.
You know, somewhere in there. And then you get, I would have still said they win by four touchdowns probably.
Right.
And I probably would still say that. I don't know that they're going to put up 56 on Tulsa's defense.
Right.
But I think they're going to, I think – they might get off to another slow start, or I think they're going to come out the fast start. I think they're going to be a little determined to show that last week is kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
And they might come out and score really quick, and they might put it away.
Yeah.
Pretty quick, too. But Tulsa defense is better than people are wanting to give them credit for, I think. So I think it's going to be interesting, at least for the first half.
Yeah. I agree. I think, I'm curious to see what happens with this Tulsa offense. Because Zach Smith is a talented quarterback. Mm-hmm. We've seen him. We saw him at Baylor doing some things. Shamari Brooks, you and I both covered when he was in high school at Union. And he's a talented running back. So they've got some good pieces. They've got a pretty deep group of wide receivers that are really solid. So we'll see what they're able to do. Obviously, offensive line is a little bit of an issue, but we'll see what they're able to do against the Oklahoma State secondary in particular. Oregon State was able to find some holes and make some plays, and this again a veteran quarterback and some talented receivers who might be able to find some spots and do some things. That'll be probably one of the things I'm most curious about, is how Oklahoma State's secondary holds up.
Yeah, that's something that we didn't really look at last week. There wasn't much of an issue with secondary last week. There wasn't much of a test either, to be honest. So I think, they need to be pushed again, because Texas is going to test them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the big thing. This is the last game on the ramp up to the start of Big 12 play, and you dive right in with a road trip to Texas. Having two road games, I think, this year is in non-conference has been probably beneficial because of the way that the conference mm-hmm. schedule sets up. I think having been on the road a couple of times, especially one long trip, is a big benefit. Because, Mike Gundy mentioned he asked the team before they went up to Oregon State how many guys are traveling for the first time. And he said it was like 26 or 28 guys raised their hands. And that's a whole different feel for a kid that's playing in his first college road game, you know, going through all the flying. And I mean, legitimately, there's some of these guys who've never been on a plane before, you know, before they get to college. So you never know how guys are going to react in those situations. I think it's important for them to have experienced that now, and they're going to be ready for that when the season gets here. What are you looking for on offense? Do you think that this becomes a game where Oklahoma State has to attack on the ground more so? Because we've seen it both ways after two games. It's it was ground heavy in the opener, and they flipped it and threw for over 400 yards as a team. Do you have a gut feeling on which direction that goes this week?
I kind of think they want to go back and establish the run early. To maybe relieve some of that pressure that Tulsa's going to try to put on Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the way to go, maybe.
Right.
And Chuba only carried the ball 8 times last week, and I know Gundy's blamed part of that on a fumble, but
right.
I think they try to get him going early to open things up for Spencer and Tylan.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. I think that's where they're going to see their best opportunities, whether it's handling blitzes or whatever it is. If you're able to get into run plays that get you away from some of that sort of stuff, I think that's a good way. But we'll see what the Tulsa defense has up its sleeve. It's definitely played well and done some good things to this point in the season. So, as I mentioned in our final podcast of the week, we will have Dakota Gregory of the Tulsa World, the Tulsa football beat writer, to break down the Golden Hurricane a little bit more and dive into that and your mailbag questions. So reach out with those at Scott Wright OK on Twitter, swright@oklahoman.com via email, and we'll answer all of those questions in our Friday mailbag segment. But that will do it for the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings, stop in today, or visit Zaxby's.com.